On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Through the words of the gospel, since we were dead.
And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." We heard these beautiful words from the Gospel of St. John that we have just read. These words constitute the essence of Divine Mercy Sunday, which we celebrate today, which is also the last day in the octave of Easter. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. With these words, the risen Christ officially instituted the sacrament of reconciliation or penance, and he called the apostles to be messengers and ministers of his merciful love. In this sense, the bishops and the priests, who are privileged with special faculties by virtue of their ordination and the apostolic succession, are called to be ministers of the divine mercy through the sacrament of reconciliation. When they exercise their faculties, they only do so as instruments, as messengers of God, because it is only God who can forgive sins. And it is God who forgives sins in the sacrament of confession. And that's why when we, the ordained ministers, are absorbing the sins of the penitent, we do so in the name of God. We don't do so in our name. That's why at the end of the prayer of absolution, you'll hear us say, I absolve your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So it is God who absorbs our sins in the sacrament of confession. We are only instruments or messengers of God. So today Jesus invites us to open our hearts to the divine mercy, to accept our sinfulness and reconcile ourselves with him through the sacrament of confession or reconciliation. And when he says that, those whose sins you retain are retained, he is commissioning his apostles to warn the impenitent that they are forfeiting the mercy of God. God wants us to make the most of his divine mercy. The Holy Father, Pope Francis, has repeatedly said that God does not tire to forgive us. God is not tired of forgiving us. He always forgives us anytime we go to him to seek his mercy through this sacrament of confession. Anytime, no matter how grave your sins may be. In a real sense, God does not retain the sins of the penitent, of one who approaches him with a contrite spirit. It is we who, due to the hardness of our hearts, decide to retain our sins by just being impenitent. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God reminds us of this when he says, "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel?" See, our God is calling us persistently to come to him in order to make the most of his divine mercy. However, this does not mean that we should allow ourselves to sin, knowing that God will forgive us anytime we turn to him. Doing so would be committing another sin of presumption. If by accident we fall into sin, it should be without presuming the mercy of God. In order to benefit from the divine mercy through the sacrament of reconciliation, it is important to know what God wants of us. God wants the conversion of the heart of the penitent, an interior conversion. Without this, our thirst for divine mercy may not bear lasting fruits. Interior conversion, according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, requires a radical reorientation of our whole life, a return, a conversion to God with all our heart, an end of sin, a turning away from evil with repugnance towards the evil actions we have committed. At the same time, it entails the desire and resolution to change one's life with the hope in God's mercy and the trust in his grace. Sometimes one may need to use the weapons of fasting and mortification in an effort to turn away from sin and bad habits. This is, in some way, a continuation of the dying with Christ which we began during our baptism. It is dying because getting rid of bad habits is not something easy. It involves pain, sadness, sometimes shame, which the fathers of the church called animi crucialis, or the affliction of the spirit, or the crucifixion of the spirit. and compunctio cordis, the repentance of the spirit. It is not something easy. You have to die, in some sense, to bring to death these bad habits involves a lot of pain, sadness, shame, and suffering. But if we succeed to die with Christ in this sense, then we are sure of rising with him. When the Holy Father, St. John Paul II, was proclaiming this Sunday as a Divine Mercy Sunday, he quoted the words of Jesus to Sister Faustina by saying, "Humanity will not find peace until it turns trustfully to divine mercy. Humanity will not find peace until it turns trustfully to divine mercy." This makes me contemplate on that famous song, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." In this case, I would appropriately add, "Oh, because we do not turn trustfully to the divine mercy." There are so many promises attached to the chaplet of the divine mercy, which I hope you know, but it is good that I repeat some of them here on this special day. Our Lord said to Sister Faustina, "Whoever will recite the chaplet of the divine mercy will receive great mercy at the hour of death." The prayer most pleasing to me is prayer for the conversion for sinners. Know, my daughter, that this prayer is always heard and answered. At 3 o'clock, implore my mercy, especially for sinners, and, if only for a brief moment, immerse yourself in my passion, particularly in my abandonment at the moment of agony. I refuse nothing to the soul that makes a request of me in virtue of my passion. So, my dear brothers and sisters, as we celebrate the Divine Mercy Sunday today, let us rekindle our zeal and dedication to the Divine Mercy and also practice mercy toward others. For Christ himself said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." May God bless you. Amen.